Harry Houdini is the best-known magician, illusionist, and escapist in history. His real name was Eric Weiss and was born in Bucharest on March 24, 1874. His family moved to Appleton, Florida, when he was 4 years old. He did not have any easy childhood, and difficulties were common in his family, so Eric worked from an early age. He was always very close to his mother, something that marked his life. His father took him to see Dr. Lin, a traveling magician. The child was struck by the art of acting. When he was 9, Eric and his friends formed a small circus, where he would perform for the first time before an audience with the name Eric, the Prince of the Sky, as a contortionist and trapeze artist. At 13, the family moved to New York. He kept working while dedicating his free time to study magic and compete in swimming. He acquired a book of the memoirs of the magician Joseph Patrick Robert Houdin, of whom he became his most fervent admirer. Eric Weiss decided to use the wizard's last name, adding an I at the end to indicate Houdin's similarity. Houdini soon devoted himself to magic, where he was popular for his impossible escapisms, thanks to a great physical resistance acquired with a strong preparation, athletics, and swimming. One of his classic escapes is the Metamorphosis, an act he executed more than 10,000 times. His assistant was Beatrice Windsor, 1876 to 1943, a young woman who would soon become Bess, his wife, in 1894. Bess would accompany him for the rest of his life, but they never had children. Houdini's abilities to free himself from strings with ropes and chains with padlocks charmed the public. He travelled around Europe for 4 years with great success and increasing his own legend. From that time, it comes the nickname, the King of Shackles. What Houdini used to do was appearing in a city before the local police chief or in prison together with a group of journalists. He proposed his challenge, which was published in the newspapers. Then he was locked up, bound, or chained. When he managed to free himself, his feat was promoted in the press. Sometimes he offered to be examined naked and let them test new locks, shackles, handcuffs, or devices made by local people. Sailors and makers of ropes, sacks, and all kinds of materials tried to hold him unsuccessfully. Houdini escaped from ropes, chains, straitjackets, all kinds of handcuffs, barrels, boxes, trunks, drums, bags, sacks, coffins, cages, and locked rooms. It is also said that he escaped from a sea monster, probably a giant squid or a whale. Some of his escapes, which became classics, like the straitjacket one, inspired by an orphanage, were made in plain sight, others secretly behind a curtain. For some, he needed a few minutes. For the more complex, he needed more than an hour. Houdini soon began to invent new challenges in his eagerness to achieve the impossible and to cause more sensation. One of them was the milk drum, a drum filled with milk, in which he was submerged and from which he escaped behind some curtains. Houdini trained to the limit. Every day he was submerged in a tub of water full of concrete blocks, being able to stay up to 3 minutes without breathing. One of Houdini's obsessions was death. Almost all of his challenges meant a real danger of death that captivated the public, to the point that some left the room before the show ended. Another of his greatest acts was the Chinese torture cell, 1912, a huge aquarium where he was submerged. This act was the first he invented and registered with a copyright, given the great rivalry existent between magicians. He also enjoyed going to the exhibits of rivals who intimidate him to impose their tricks to the public and make them look ridiculous. His mother always attended his exploits. When she died, it was a hard blow for Houdini. He had never believed in spiritualism and got irritated when a medium tried to contact the spirit of his mother, deceased years before. When the medium transcribed the literal message received, Houdini revealed that it could hardly be his mother. The message was in German, while his mother only spoke a mixture of German, Hungarian, and Yiddish. And in addition, there was a cross heading the message, while his family was Jewish. Outraged, he vowed to become a crusader against spiritualism. He came to reproduce and denounce many of the tricks of mediums and published them in magazines, showing them up. His friendship with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, creator of Hercule Poirot, dates from that time. When they met, they started a close friendship, but their beliefs came soon into conflict. Doyle, unlike Houdini, believed in the paranormal world. The writer was convinced that Houdini's abilities were paranormal and not tricks, despite having seen how the magician unmasked the setups of the spiritualists or explained some of his techniques of magic and escapism. Over time, Houdini's physical condition was not the same and had to abandon some feats. One of the last was escaping from a straitjacket hung upside down, hanging from a rope in a towering crane. But the task was exhausting and he used to end up in pain, so he started to look for other artistic opportunities. He put on a show on Broadway. The end of Houdini's life happened in a strange circumstance. In 1926 in Munich, some university students challenged him to be hit in the abdomen to test his legendary physical resistance. Before he could get ready, he received a very strong punch from one of them, Jocelyn Gordon Whitehead. This first blow was followed by several more that caused him an appendix rupture. Houdini worked the following days suffering from severe pain and fever. He suffered two faints in one performance and was hospitalized. In the early hours of October 31st, 1926, Houdini died at the age of 74 due to peritonitis. The large burial took place within a few days. Before dying, he prepared a definitive proof against his so abhorred spiritualism. He devised a secret code he shared with his wife, consisting on 35 secret words from a letter by Conan Doyle. If he ever contacted a medium from the afterlife, he would use those words so that Bess could be certain that the contact was real. He warned his wife that if there was any way to communicate from the afterlife, he would certainly do so. Several spiritualists claim to have come into contact with the spirit of Houdini, although his wife never received the secret code. They even published stories falsifying Bess's testimony to make believe that the code had been revealed, but it never was. After 10 years, his wife held a final session without success. She then put out a candle that she had symbolically kept burning next to Houdini's photograph. 10 years is enough time to wait for any man, she said. Since then, it is a tradition among magicians to hold sessions invoking the spirit of Houdini every November 1st.